Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Waiting for the sound technician back there to come up.
All right. Two places at one time.
All right. Good to see you. Hey, how would you like to stand up while I preach this morning? I have to stand up to preach. Isn't it nice to stand up every once in a while, though? Brother Earl, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's good to be here today. Amen. And we're glad that you're here. Remember now to be praying for our revival. Let's show the sign before you read. Let's show the sign. Stretch it out here. We've got two of these signs. We're going to put them out there on the fence so everybody will know. And it's upside down. I don't want you to get the wrong idea and put it on the fence the wrong way. Isn't that nice? All right. Got two. I can read that. Without my glasses. Let Roger do that and you come up here. Well, you're going to read though, aren't you? Okay. There you go. I'm ready for that.
We're in the book of Psalms this morning, if you'd like to follow along. Chapter 5.
Follow along. Is that a King James Bible?
That is a New King James Bible.
That's a New King James
Yes.
Bible, not the old.
I can only read English.
You know, when you people can't read along with you because they don't read the same.
Well, some might have the New King James also. It's a morning prayer for guidance. Psalm chapter 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you and will look up. If you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you, the boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They falter with their tongues. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out of the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. Well, may God bless it. Have a blessing on his holy word.
Okay. Turn over to 434. My soul in sad exile was in the life sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yield in myself to his tender embrace, and faith taking hold on the word. Fetters fell off, and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. The song of my soul, since the Lord made me whole, has been the old story so blessed, of Jesus who saves whosoever would come, a home of the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the white seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Amen. I need to practice that one a little bit more. Would you all rise and... we'll sing 482, number 482. Amen.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge of mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is a stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Brother Roger, would you lead us in prayer?
Father, again, before we come to the throne of grace, we would ask that you just quiet our hearts and our minds. Prepare us for the words and the teachings that you lay upon our pastor's heart. Father, we also thank you for keeping an eye on the property building and the finances. And as we partake of this offering, we'd ask that you not only multiply it here on this corner, but the mission fields we support around the world, we will be careful to give you all praise, honor, and glory. For it is in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Johnny, do you have a song for us this morning, please, sir? All right. While he's coming, I'll tell you briefly about my trip. I went all the way to Arizona and back, drove about 848 miles, I think it is, in a nice air-conditioned car. With that automatic pilot on it, all you do is push a button and it drives as fast as you want it to go. Did I say air conditioned? You needed it over there. Because it's hot in Arizona. And listened to a lot of good Christian music on the way over there. Took some CDs and just lean back, you know, and say, okay, Lord, let's go. And we went. Had a beautiful wedding over there. Another one of my granddaughters, little Holly. I remember when little Holly was born. Her grandmother looked at her with that shock of red hair on top of her head, and she says, "It'll change, it'll change." Well, it never has. But we've got an Eli in the family now. And they're going to be going up on a honeymoon to Alaska. Can you imagine going from Arizona to Alaska in the middle of July? That's a good place to go. I hope they see some polar bears. Anyway, I got to see a couple of little great-grandkids while I was over there. Got to see little Miles. He's the one you've been praying for. One of these days, he's coming over here, and you're going to get to see that answer to prayer. I'll tell you what a fine little guy he is. We played and played and played, and he's as full of energy as any 3.5-year-old boy you ever saw. I expected to see him, you know, all drained out from going to the doctors and all the medicine and such as that. But man, he was a live wire. And he played me down. It didn't take too much of that. But I enjoyed those little children over there. Very, very precious. And that little girl liked me. And she would give me hugs and kisses. That was fun. Too bad we have to grow up. It sure would be nice if she could stay one for a little bit longer. But anyway, Johnny, what are you going to sing for us this morning?
Come unto the Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Do it.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. You know, God has been merciful to us and mankind, as a matter of fact. You see, he has given us his precious son as a gift.
Amen.
And to those who has accepted that gift and who love him, he has given us as a gift to him because he loves him, please. Ooh, ooh, the Savior was praying to the Father one day. He said, "Those whom you have given unto me, now I pray, Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, and may they love one another and be one as we are the gift from the Father to the Son. We are trophies of grace for the battle of Jesus as one. We shall behold his glory through eternity. Oh, precious promise, now we with him shall be. Oh, I gave them
your word, and they have believed. Now this world has hated them because your word they receive. Now, Father, those whom you have given where I am, now may they be, that they may behold my glory, all that thou hast given me. Church, we are the gift from the Father to the Son. We are trophies, the grace, for the battle of Jesus has won. We shall behold His glory through eternity. Oh, blessed promise, we with Him shall be. We are again from the Father to the Son. Of your grace, oh, we shall behold His glory through eternity. Now, oh, blessed promise, all that we with Him shall be. We shall behold His glory through eternity. Oh, blessed promise, now we with Him shall be. Oh, I love you, my Jesus. Oh, I love you. Yes, I do, beloved. Oh, I love Him so. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord. That's my name.
I like that song. Sing it again sometime. Love it. What a message. Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Our text will be in verse 12. Long time ago, God, the Holy Spirit, and the church at Antioch sent the Apostle Paul out to preach. Now the Jews had been scattered all over that neck of the woods over there. There was hardly a city you could go to in Asia Minor, Turkey, whatever you want to call that area there, but what you'd find Jews. And Paul was preaching to the Jews. He would go into the synagogues and he would preach. And as he preached, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, was on his ministry, and people were saved. A lot of those Thessalonians, the natives of the land, not the Jews, who had been kind of forced out of Judea to live there, the natives, they were Gentiles. They worshiped many gods, different kinds. how would you possibly take the gospel of Jesus Christ into an area like that where people don't know God, they have no Old Testament history, they have no knowledge of the true and the living God, they have no knowledge of God so loving the world that he gives his only begotten Son, and Christ died for the sins of the world on the cross of Calvary. They know nothing of this. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have a Bible that they could follow along with. He couldn't get in the pulpit and say, now open your Bibles to such and such a page. They didn't have Bibles. And he stood up and told them about Jesus. And those people believed what Paul preached. And the Holy Spirit worked in their hearts. They were convicted of their sins. And when the invitation was given, they accepted Christ as their personal Savior. They were Paul's converts, people that he had led to Christ. He knew these people. And after they were converted, and after he had left, they were on his heart continually. And he prayed for them. And he wrote them a letter. And in this letter, I want to take this one verse of what he said in his letter of 1 Thessalonians, verse 12, that ye should walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And I have a feeling that if Paul could write to us today, he would just say to his secretary, run off a copy of that letter I wrote to those Christians at Thessalonica and send it to the Bible Baptist Church in Chula Vista. And I believe that he would tell us the same thing, that we should walk worthy of God. You know, that should be the heart's desire of each one of us. We should be praying in our hearts, Lord, help me to walk worthy of you. But what does that mean? We would like to pray for our loved ones the same way, our relatives, our children, our spouses, our friends. Walk worthy of God. But what does that mean? What is it to walk worthy of God? We're going to spend a few minutes this morning, the Lord willing, trying to find out just what he means by that. I know to some of you it may seem pretty simple and basic, which it really is. But it's the putting it into practice that's the difficult part of it, isn't it? We know it, but putting it into practice is a whole different story. Now, there are some folks, I don't think there's anybody here like that this morning. But there are some folks who are incapable of walking worthy of God. You say, well, why would anybody be incapable, not able to do it? Because the first step in walking with God is to make a personal determination to recognize Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and to turn from their trespasses and their sins and put their faith and trust in Him. alone for salvation. I think we'll agree on the correct answer to the question that the prophet Amos asked in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Listen to this. He says, can two walk together except they be agreed? If you're walking with somebody and you get into an argument, one of them's going to drop back and the other one's going to go a little bit forward up here and it's going to separate you. But if you agree on something, man, you go shoulder to shoulder when you walk down the road. And you can't walk with God unless you agree with Him. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And probably there are some who have been sitting idle so long that their spiritual muscles are atrophied. It's kind of the way I got the feeling after I'd been driving for 6 hours sitting in a car seat. Parts of my anatomy begin to get atrophied. You got to stop every once in a while and get out and see if you can still walk. We're talking about walking worthy of God. But spiritually, we get so dried up and so stiff that we can't walk with God. And there are still others who don't believe that God desires man even to... that man can even achieve such a thing in this wicked, sinful world in which we live. It's just too rough out there. You just can't walk worthy of God in a world that's filled with sin and wickedness. So we're in this unholy world and we want to walk worthy of God, but we find that we just have to lower our standards a little bit. You know what I mean? It's too rough. Too much opposition. Trying to walk worthy of God is like getting out here and walking down the middle of a freeway during rush hour. You take your eyes off where you're going and somebody's going to run over you. Now, God's standards for walking worthy of Him have not changed from the days of the Apostle Paul. What it took then is going to take now. And we don't want to lower our standards. I know people change. I know customs change. But these standards are as unchanging as the rest of God's Word. Now I know that sometimes in a moment of deep devotion to the Lord, we'll make God promises. Lord, I'm going to try to walk worthy of You. We put the word try in there. That means if I fail, Lord, please forgive me. I'm going to walk worthy of the Lord. We don't say it with confidence. We don't say it with trust. There are some people that feel that they just can't do it, so they don't even try. There are some who have tried in the past and they failed. Well, there's no need to try it again. Just can't do it. But we make a promise to God. Lord, I'm going to walk worthy of God. That's my vow to you. And we start out good. It lasts for about 2 days, and then we stumble and fall and come short. We throw up our hands and say, oh, what's the use? But I want to remind you that we're all capable of falling, and we do fall. I ran across a scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. And that scripture says, there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Does that help you any? Make you feel a little bit better? I'm not the only one. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So don't come and brag to me about how good you are. Take it up with the Lord. Tell him how good you are. See if he'll believe you. There's another scripture in Proverbs 24, verse 16. Listen at this one. A just man. Now, just to me means a person's been justified. He's saved. He's a Christian. He knows the Lord. He's following Jesus. Living according to his best of his ability to follow the scriptures in his life. But the scripture says, a just man falleth 7 times. 2, 3, 4, 5. That must be an average, because I know I've fallen a lot more than 7 times. A just man falleth 7 times. But that's not all. This verse goes on to say, and riseth up again. There's a difference there. It's not a 3 strikes and you're out proposition. If you fall, get up and try again. Don't give up. Just keep getting up. The game isn't over yet. I played with those 2 little kids, a 1-year-old and a 3.5-year-old, playing with a nearly 90-year-old great-grandfather. I would watch this little 1-year-old. Man, she'd get to running and her body was going faster than her legs and feet, and down she would go. But before Mama could get there, she's already up and running again. How different. If I was running and fell down like that, I would lay where I fell until the ambulance came. A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. So you're going to fail when you walk with God. But remember this. When you fall, he's going to be there to help you up. Now, the point is that even though God's standard of holiness is unchanging, we have a God who recognizes and realizes the frailty of our flesh. He knows that we are but dust. He knows our limitations. He knows our shortcomings. He knows our weaknesses. And he knows that we have worldly and fleshly tendencies. And he offers to help us every step of the way. All we have to do is just yield to him, be obedient to him, surrender and submit to him. Now, there's another group of people who ought to be walking worthy of God, but they're just simply too tired. You know what I mean? Too tired. They've got an attitude, been there, done that. It's time to step aside and let somebody else do that spiritual walking. But wait a minute. Did Jesus come and I didn't know it? Did Gabriel blow his trumpet and I didn't hear it? Until Jesus returns, when we fall, we should get up and keep on going. I know it's easier said than done. You'll notice also in our text, context of it here, Paul reminds them in verse 7, said, "We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." I like that gentleness. God is, have you ever been in, they say as a nurse. I know Betsy used to be a nurse, but I can't picture her being like this. Some nurses, wasn't there one on television one time called Ratchet or Hatchet or something like that? I've talked to some people that thinks they had her working on them while they were in the hospital. But from my experiences in the hospital, it might have been the mental condition I was in, but I was always glad to receive any help that they might bring me. As a nurse cherishes her children. That means that God goes easy on us. He punishes us less than our iniquities deserve, he tells us. And he set the example on how he urges them to walk with God. It's not impossible. It doesn't depend on your background. Doesn't depend upon your financial resources. Doesn't depend on your career or your age or your physical ability or disability. The Word of God lets us know that if we have been born again into the family of God, the reality of walking worthy of God is possible because it does not depend upon us. It depends upon God. Jesus asks us more than once to follow him despite our weaknesses. I love to read over there about the time when he's walking along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Now, it's not like the beach down here, because at the beach, you can't see the other side. The Sea of Galilee, you could see across it. You can see the upper end and the lower end. Looks more like a big lake. Jesus is walking along here. And he sees a boat, a couple of guys working on it. Actually, they're fishing. They're throwing their nets out in the water. And Jesus walks up there to Peter and Andrew, and he says to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." I'm still talking about walking worthy of God. I believe that when we walk worthy of God, we are going to follow Jesus Christ. Now, to our surprise, Peter and Andrew did just that. Could have been that the fish just weren't biting that day too, you know. But anyway, they went up the beach a little bit and they came to another fishing boat. A couple of guys in there helping their daddy Zebedee. They were mending the nets. Jesus looked at James and John and he said to them, "Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." And they left their nets and followed Jesus. And as they followed Jesus, they were walking worthy of God. He kept on going. Matthew 9:9 says, "As Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew." Matthew, what's he doing? He's sitting at the receipt of custom, collecting taxes. What did Jesus say to him? He didn't even introduce himself to him. He just walked up to him and said, "Follow me." And he arose and followed Jesus. Again, walking worthy of God. Jesus runs across another fellow. Feel sorry for him because his daddy just died. He's making funeral arrangements. Luke 9:59. Jesus saw him, saw the grief that had gripped his heart. He said to him, "Follow me." Walk worthy of God. Follow me. Let the dead bury their dead. Now these are just examples or illustrations. But in Matthew 16:24, he enlarges the invitation, and here's what he says. He got tired of just picking them out one by one, by two, and such as that. And he just cried out, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." We're talking about walking worthy of God. And following Jesus Christ will make you worthy to walk with God. Now, if we believe that we can do it, if we believe that it's possible to do it, then how do we actually go about doing it? I think that one of the things we should concentrate on is a better knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. Because when we read the Word of God, we find out things that God wants us to do, things that we can do that will please Him. And if we do the things that God tells us to do, we will be walking worthy of God. Now, we need to know God's Word. That's where we find the standard. That's where we find what God expects of us, what He requires. And another advantage we have is that of prayer. Personal Bible study and prayer, why, that will increase our knowledge of God. And when our delight is in the law of the Lord, we will read the Word of God. We will meditate upon it day and night, as the psalmist says in Psalm 1, verse 2. Meditate upon it. The law of God. What is that? Oh, somebody said, that's the Ten Commandments. That's the thou shalt and the thou shalt not of God. No. That's where Israel got off the track with God, trying to keep the law for salvation. They wound up in the ditch. Remember what God told Joshua? Joshua took over after Moses died. He's got some pretty big shoes to fill. God told him, He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then, you don't do this for salvation. You don't do this to get saved and go to heaven when you die. But He says you do that you shall, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. You want to prosper? When we think of prosper, we think of making more money. We think of being better off than we are now. We're prospering. Things are going fine. We're prospering. And then thou shalt have good success. If you want prosperity and success, then keep the law of God. Read it, study it, talk to God about it. Meditate upon it day and night. Now, if Joshua needed that, so do we. And we're still talking about walking worthy of God. There's nothing more important in this life than learning and knowing and living by this book that we call the Bible. Let's talk a little bit more about prayer. Prayer plays a very important part in this walking worthy of God. We need to be in constant contact with our source of power and wisdom. We need to stay plugged in to our power supply. I can hardly say this without weeping, but for 2 weeks now, my little red Ford pickup has been in the garage. it won't start. I go out there and I put the key in the ignition. I say, please. And I turn it and it goes, rrr. That's all. Of course, I've been in Arizona. I haven't needed it for a couple of days. But the motor's still good. It's got gas in the tank and a good driver behind the wheel. But it won't start. It has no power supply. And I say, little red truck, you're a lot like me. There are times when my battery kind of runs down. And I either need to get it recharged or get a new one. And I have an idea it's going to take a new one. After all, it's 21 years old. Man. Anyway, God is our power supply. If we're going to walk worthy with God, we've got to be plugged in. We've got the indwelling Holy Spirit. And He plays a very important part in our relationship with God. He is our spiritual guide as well as our spiritual strength and our power to accomplish this walk. Don't think you can do it by yourself. Don't even attempt it by yourself. Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. In order to walk worthy of God, that needs to be a habit for us. Not something that's just done occasionally at our convenience. Like, hey, I'm going to do God a favor today. I'm going to church. Yeah. There's all sorts of things that can come into our schedules and crowd out our time in the house of the Lord. But the value of our time together in the house of God cannot be discounted. Think for a moment of how the church started out. This church here, I was not here for the first dedication service of this auditorium. Before the pews arrived, the first service they had, folding chairs in here, filled the place up. Wonderful. Now, everybody was enthused. A new church. They were bringing their friends, their neighbors. It's the way the church started out. Oh, go back and read the opening chapters of Acts. You get over there and you find out, for instance, in the 5th chapter and verse 42, it says, daily, that means every day, doesn't it? Daily, in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. What was the result of this activity? Verse 5 of chapter 16 says, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Increased in number. They did it every day. If we did it every day for the rest of this month, we'd fill it up. Then we could quit again. We wouldn't have a place to put the people. Nobody wants to go into a building program at this stage. We just fill it up and quit and try to keep it full all the time. They did it daily. And then somebody made a motion. Let's quit this daily business and just do it once a week. We could do it on Sunday because we could commemorate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. on Sunday. And somebody else said, no, I think we ought to do it on Saturday because that's the Sabbath, and God says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. No, we want it on Sunday. Well, I think it ought to be on Saturday. So they built two churches. This one over here meets on Sunday. One over here meets on Saturday. Then the Muslims come along and say, we're going to meet on Friday. You want it for every day of the week. There you go. Now, I think God's made it abundantly clear that walking worthy of God is possible, it is desirable, it is pleasing to the Lord. How about today we make God a promise to give it a try? No long-range commitment. Don't make a vow now because the Bible says it's better to not make a how's it go? If you make a vow and break it, you're in deep trouble. Okay? But you can just make God a promise, I'll try to walk worthy of the Lord. I know it's possible. I'm not talking about just a half-hearted effect or effort, but a dedicated intent and purpose to walk worthy of God. And I'll tell you this, you'll be surprised how your life will change for the better. For the better. Let's stand together, please. Thank you for listening today. Remember, tonight, it's not in your bulletin. For some reason or other, Bob Smith over there, he didn't put my sermon titles. I didn't look, but he didn't put my sermon titles in there. And I know the reason he didn't do it. He's not psychic. He called. He did his part. Anyway, we're going to be preaching tonight, 6 o'clock. Come out and we'll share the Word of God together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessing upon us. Thank you for this privilege of walking worthy of you. My, what a wonderful blessing that is. And there's somebody here today that needs to make a promise to you that they'll start today walking worthy of the Lord. We pray for your power and your ability to keep that promise to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. What's our number?
484.
484. Jesus is saying to you, follow me. Jesus, I come.
Jesus, I come.
Follow me, Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. Walk worthy of God. Brother David Barden will be going into the hospital tomorrow. He's been sick. Pray for him, okay? I think he's already on the prayer list, but remember him. As we're dismissed in prayer this morning, Brother Sam, will you lead us, please, in our benediction?